I'd like to think about the subject of a day of reckoning. We want to think more about the importance of today and what we do today. I believe that the Bible is pretty particular in teaching us that everything we do is recorded. You ever think about that? What happens to a lie that's told? What happens to it? Does it go away? Our actions of today, do they go away because we forget them? You know, after a while, whatever you do seems to fade away, doesn't it? In time, whatever it is, the feelings or the passions or whatever is done, after time has a way of eliminating them kind of out of our thinking. But are they gone? Is it over? It's an awesome, awful thought for me to think that I'm going to have to give an account. What about if I forgot about all of that? I'm not then responsible. Maybe we think in those terms. So I want to talk about a day of reckoning. Reckoning meaning to reckon something is to count it. It's like the word, if you was to say I figure or I reckon. To figure means that you're putting everything in an order. You're looking at the details of it. Or another word, Bible uses more particularly, an account. Your root word is to count. I'm counting it or figuring it. There's going to be a day that's going to consider it all. There's going to be a day that's going to consider our lives. Everything that we've done is recorded. It's all still there in a life spent. If you were ugly, indifferent, if you lied, if you cheated, if you despised, it's all in the reckoning. It's all in the considering of it. It's all going to be there. What a thought. What did I do last year, the year before, the year before? What is there in my day of reckoning? This thought comes from a well-known historical time. I'm thinking about World War II, especially of the Germans, like Hitler. Hitler rose to power in the early 30s, conniving, scheming, murdering, killing, done whatever he could to gain power. And you have to understand the whole scenario. Germany had come out of World War I as the losers. They were defeated. They come out of that, and in the trying to rebuild of their nation, they were in abject poverty. There was a lot of rioting, and the whole place was bad. The time of world depression was on, and the Germans was doing terrible. So they needed a hero. So one arose. Hitler arose out of the dust of that, out of that mind, out of the mindset that the people had, and Hitler rose to power, and he began to do certain things. He got rid of a lot of his adversaries and all, and he worked his way into a dictatorship, and then he took off on world conquest. While the rest of the world was tired of war, Europe was tired of war. They didn't want a war. They were all in a mode of peace. Hitler was making bigger and bigger and bigger armies. Air Force, he was pushing war, and he made of the time, the greatest war machine the world ever knew. And he also ruthlessly killed people, harmed people. It made a terrible, terrible situation. And he had people there that was within him, and they desired world domination. They desired the annihilation of the Jewish race. They wanted to get rid of the Jewish people. They killed by the millions, put them in, you probably know a lot of the history, they put them in to concentration camps, and they had actual death camps. It's hard to understand that a human mind could go so far as to do some of the atrocities that these people did. They actually had for a while firing squads. Death squads, they called them. And they would bring these people in train loads, and bring them in truck loads and train loads, and they would dig a big long pit and march in. They would run, they would get out and run into the pits, and they would shoot them, and piles of bodies, and the next group would run in on top of them, and they'd shoot them, and they shot them by the hundreds. It wasn't doing it fast enough, and they took too many bullets. So they had to have a less messy way to doing it, and so they started, the ones that was healthy and able, they put them to work and worked them to death, or worked them nearly to death till they could put them into a gas chamber. And they would put a couple thousand people or several thousand people into a small area, and then they'd put Zyklon gas down in, and the gas would come off of these pellets, and it would kill all of these people. Then they'd have other Jews that would take them out. Workers would take them out, and they'd put them in the crematory, and they'd burn them up, and they did all kind of hideous things. And Hitler said that this was going to they were going to last, his empire, his Reich, was going to last 1,000 years. And why not believe it? They were the strongest on the earth. Nobody could touch them. Hitler had the greatest army around him. The Germans felt secure within their walls. Nothing's going to get them. They can do anything they want to. It did. It didn't last 1,000 years, folks. He started about 33, 12 years later. The war's over. Russians is beating down on Berlin. Hitler's in his bunker. Everything has went away. All that he thought he was going to do, everything that he was going to do, now comes down to a day of reckoning. You know, it happens for everybody. He thought that he could do anything he want. You can't do anything you want. It's all recorded. And there's going to be a day that we're going to have to give an account of every deed done. You know, Hitler ended up being the man of the year. Then he ended up being almost a world conqueror, a conqueror of all this. And he was looked up and admired and even almost worshipped. And he went from there to taking an anvil of cyanide in a bunker in Berlin. And they took his body out and dumped gas on it and burned it up. And that was the end. And that's the day. There's going to be a day of reckoning. But don't you know that there's more of a reckoning than just that for him? There was many people that made him, allowed him to do. He didn't stand by himself. It took people for him to get there. He got there because there was men that propped him up, that held him up, that done his bidding, that worked for him and done all those things. A number of those guys came to what they called the Day of Reckoning. Nuremberg War Trials. They brought all these famous names of the Nazis. They brought them in, and they had kept so many records They had thousands upon thousands of bits of evidence against these people, their own signatures, their own orders, their own things. One of them had, if you can imagine this, one of them actually had, they had taken where these people were tattooed. They would actually take, when they killed them, they would cut out the skin of that tattoo and make lampshades out of the human skin because it had the artwork of these tattoos, and they would do all those things. And that came as a part of the count that was against them. You actually did all of these things. You did this. All of this is starting to lay out before the world. They sat with shame. They sat with horror on their face. The ones that did it sat there with this and this, and they brought every detail was out. Folks, there isn't a thing lost in your life. Not one thing is going to be lost of this great. See, we might lose it here, but God's account is going to be absolutely perfect. And what I'm ministering today is that we can feel like sometimes that it doesn't matter much. Life's to live, and I'll have tomorrow. So the particulars of my day doesn't matter a whole lot because there'll be time and I might forget about that. I might forget about the deeds that I've done. I may forget. It may not matter after a while. The sting of that. Do you know that you can make it through conviction? Do you know you can feel the sting of guilt and you can wear it out? You can wear it off. After a while, it won't hurt. After a while, you'll lose the idea of even about anything about it. But I want us to know, there's a day of reckoning. There will be a day to have to reckon, to add the columns, to look at it all under an exactness that the Lord talks about. I want to look first, start with a scripture in 1 Peter. Third chapter. I just want to take a little bit of this phrase out. Well, also with 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think that reveals the heart of God as much as any passage of Scripture. That He isn't willing that any should perish. He's not willing that we end up out of His favor. He's doing everything that He can to get us to that place of repentance. That is not God's will. But He's long-suffering. But it says, but, the 10th verse says, but, the day of the Lord will come. Now, I want to end there. It goes on with the thief, like a thief in the night. But I want to just get that. The day of the Lord will come. But it ain't come yet. But when is it going to come? Am I really going to have to face this? But the day of the Lord will come. The most important thing to think about the day of reckoning is for me to take care of today. If I take care of my days, then I'll take care of the day of reckoning. It's important that we take care of today, that I don't allow the things to slip by me, that I don't allow things to be undone or took care of in my life. We don't know this, and I'll say this morning. I know this is a Sunday morning, and this message may be more geared for a monarch nighter, but I can't help what the Lord gives me. And this is a part of my calling, seems, anyway. But I want us to realize that we have the responsibility of keeping our lives right. We do that by making sure that I'm right now. Now, because there's going to be a day of reckoning come, I need to make sure that I've took care of the things of this is as real as the Bible itself. This is taught plainly in the Scriptures that we're going to give an account of the deeds done in this body. There's going to be a day of reckoning. It was mentioned earlier in service here today. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. It's as true as anything can be. There will be a day of reckoning for everything done. Many, many people have made the mistake of thinking that they was untouchable. You can't touch me. I can't be touched. What, Hitler thought that he was untouchable. He made brags about things. My little bit of wisdom could say right as I hear it from anybody. What a foolish statement. What a foolish thought to think you're not touchable. The greatest of people, the richest of people, the people that think that they got enough money to buy everything. You don't have enough money to buy everything. Because everything can't be bought. You can't have the strength. Well, I'm young and I'm strong and I can outdo everybody. There's somebody that you can't outdo. We had in Sunday school this morning the story of the Pharaoh. The greatest army probably on the earth at the time. The greatest nation at the time. They wasn't playing around on feet. They had horses and chariots and modern ways of war. And they couldn't be touched. Could they? Oh yeah, they can. And there's a day of reckoning. We're going to add it all up one of these days. We're going to add it all up. What is in the column? Lord, help us. That it's all under the blood of Jesus. It's going to have to be under the blood of Jesus. Because I forgot and I've turned over a new leaf and I started on January 1st saying I'm going to be a better fella. And so I'm not going to do the things, I'm going to try not to do the things that I once did. They're already in the book. They're already wrote down. There's going to be a day that we're going to have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. And the Scripture says, but the day of the Lord will come. I want to look a Scripture over in Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 21 and 19. You remember, we all go 18. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. You remember the story? You can read it back there. You remember the story? Naboth had a vineyard that was beside Ahab's. And Ahab looks, and but beside his property it sounded, and Ahab looks at that and said, that'd be a great addition to my property. So he goes and says, Naboth, sell me your vineyard, and I'll give you what it's worth. Not only will I give you what it's worth, I'll either give you land that's worth more, or I'll give you more than it's worth. I want to buy it from you. Naboth says, far be it from me. This is the meaning of the Scripture. Naboth said, God hath chosen my property. See, they got it by inheritance. And God gave them what they wanted by their inheritance. And then God had chosen, one scripture says, begging for the Lord to put my lines in pleasant places. You, Lord, you determined my land. And Naboth got his land that way. And he wasn't going to sell it for any reason because the Lord had gave it to him. Ahab's upset, and you remember the story, and his wife Jezebel ends up saying, are you a man or a mouse? What are you? Are you a man? Are you king or not? Now I'll tell you what to do. Well, anyway, they ended up killing Naboth at the end and taking his vineyard, and all's done. So he gets his vineyard, and now he's proud of it. He's down at the vineyard. So the Lord tells the prophet to go down and talk to him, Elijah the Tishbite. It says, and thou shalt speak unto him, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick the blood even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. So here was a king that had quite a history of doing things wrong, and your king. There's some rights of a king. You can get by with it. You can take somebody else's things. You can abuse that all you want to. You can do whatever you want to do. And there's nobody that can tell you you can't. No man can come up and say, don't do it. No man can do that. But he never considered that there was a day of reckoning. For whatever we do, we're going to have to give an account of what we've done and why we've done it. Why did you do that to Naboth? Why did you have the evil that you had? Why did you sell yourself for this? And where you took his blood, the dogs are going to lick your blood there too. There's going to be a day that you're going to have to give an account for everything you've done. This is so part of the scriptures. For to give us a warning that nothing stands by itself. You cannot get by doing things that's wrong. And it doesn't do better because you feel like you're better. They exist in the great mind and heart of God. In His books they are written. This is what you did. And there was times that the Lord so wanted to show it, and for our good shows it, that He sends a prophet down there and says to Ahab, I saw you. Ahab, I saw you. And you've lived it up. You've eaten better food. I put you in the place of a king to be responsible for the people. And what did you do with it? You use it for yourself. Well, how did you become king, Ahab? I gave you that. Now you're going to give an account for what? Do you know that every one of our congressmen, senators, presidents, and leaders have been put into a place of responsibility to a people? Do you know every one of them is in a place that God, the scripture says there is no authority but God's authority. So all under authorities is at the hand of God. And they're going to be responsible. Do you know if they think they can tell a lie and 20 years from now they can just get by with? Do you know that that ain't the way it works? You can sweep things under rugs. You can change your thoughts or ways. But there's going to be a day to where it's all put in the right orders. And we're going to have to give an account for it. So he was king for a while. Pulled a lot of shenanigans, done a lot of things. He was king, he could do it, and in his mind nobody could touch him. And then a prophet comes along and says, it's not me, I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just here to tell you, you got to pay. The day of reckoning's here. Ahab, your day of reckoning is here. And where are the dogs? Where the dogs licked his blood? They're going to lick yours too. 23rd verse. And of Jezebel. Also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall in Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city of dogs shall, in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall be fowls of the air eat. Over in 2 Kings. Ninth chapter. Says in the 30th verse, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. Well, you can see what she did. She puts her makeup on. You can just see this. Queen Jezebel. She goes and puts her paint on. She puts her makeup on. Then tire is like the word attire. She decorates her head. I don't know if it was a hat or scarf or a jewelry or whatever, but she attired her head. She made herself like she's going to go out. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, Hushu his master, slew his master. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portions of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Now, I want to tell you, in the best words I can explain this, in its crudeness, there's a day of reckoning. Do you know what this scripture is saying about Jezebel? We all have the ability to be honorable. We all have the ability to be upright. We all have the ability to be thought well of by God. When the Israelites left Egypt, they took the bones of Joseph because it was an honor to have him. He was the deliverer of the nation. Well thought of, an honorable person who put God first. They wanted to be as close as they could. He was a blessing to them. We all have that potential. Jezebel was thrown out the window. She splatted. She hit so hard that she splatted. I know this is disturbing, but it's what happened. They threw her out, that her blood splatted up against the wall and up on the horses, and then they run over her. But that's not enough yet. It was prophesied that the dogs were going to eat her. I imagine those cities probably had a lot of rogues out there. Probably these dogs run wild pretty much. They probably eat them. I can just see these little skinny. Can't you see these skinny malnutrition dogs running around out? You know how they would be in a place like that? And these dogs, and as soon as anything that they can eat appears, they eat it. And these dogs probably rushed in and just immediately started ripping her up. That ain't all. The last words is what's going to be of Jezebel? She's going to be dog manure. That's what this is saying. What Jezebel ends up being, not an honorable resting place, not a marker, not a beloved, not none of that. It'll be dog manure. The day of reckoning came for Jezebel. She lived wickedly. She hurt a lot of people. She done a lot of bad. And this is what God said at the end of it. This is what happens. One of the most notorious of the Nazi criminals was Himmler. Himmler was caught trying to get, I think, across the Swiss border after he had went into civilian clothes and he disguised himself, and he got caught trying to go across the line. They caught him. Before they could do anything, he took cyanide, killed himself. There was a farmer there, took him and burned him. The story was, and when they asked where he was at, he said, "I'll never tell you where that wicked man's. Let him forever go out of memory. There is no place to say, where is Himmler? He's gone." Because of the day of reckoning, of what's going to happen at the end. You can come up with all the kind of ideas of what have happened to people. Saul, you can go your own way. This is going to be a day of reckoning for you. Did Saul have to be a wicked king that ended up with a bad spirit that he sought from the witch of Endor? And then went on and died his death? Did he have to fall that way? No, he didn't have to fall that way. But the day of reckoning will come. For each and every one of us, the day of reckoning will come. And the way to get the day of reckoning right is to take care of the day. As we live this life, we take care of our moments. One little thing that I got by with that nobody knows is written down and recorded. It all is written down and recorded. All of it's there. And as the scripture says, and I think it would be true with all of these people, I don't want to get that, it's in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." If we were all wired up with electrical charge, and every time we had a bad thought, or every time we told a little fib, or every time we got a little attitude, the Lord would give us a good jolt. Or at the end of every day, the Lord would flash out a screen that said what you done and what was wrong, and you get a sentence on it immediately, we'd all act different. But that's not the plan. That's not the way it works. And because of the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, Therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. To do what's wrong. But Lord, help us. It doesn't go away. That's what I want to say to us today. It doesn't go away just because you forget it. It doesn't go away just because the years go by and make you feel different about it. The day of reckoning will come. You may feel superior. One day you'll feel inferior. You may feel on top of the mountain. One of these days you won't be on the mountain. You may have full health now. One of these days you'll be flat on your back. But it'll happen to all of us eventually, one way or the other. The day will come. We're going to have to give account for everything that we have done in this body. What an awesome thought to me. As I pondered the idea of those war crimes, the Japanese had war criminals too. I think there was 7 of them that was executed as a part of the war. Their day had come too, and there was a day to where they was assured, no doubt at all, they were assured that they were going to conquer what they called the 8 corners of the earth or whatever, and they had their sphere of influence, and there was no doubt that God had gave it to them. And they were going to, it was going to last, and they was going to rule, but it wasn't long. They dropped bombs freely. They were cruel and mean to people. And there come a time to where their own cities burned in infernos. There come a day to where the whole thing was turned back on their own people. And the day of reckoning started coming. Be not deceived today. God's not mocked. In that, in the sense that whatever you sow, you also reap. It can't be got away from. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, just a little bit of a different thought. It says for 11, for other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation of gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, there's going to be a day, many times the Lord in His mercy allows it to come in this day here. Sometimes it comes before our own thinking. I'm going to tell you, we're all going to be better off to face it in this life than to face it in the other. It's the mercy of God that He allows those things to be dealt with here in this life, that He's willing to allow things. And as we said in Sunday school today, it was amazing to me. He used the east wind to open up the sea. He used other armies to bring His wrath upon His people. He used the natural elements, the things that are around us, and He's not through doing it. You look around and not even see God, but let this known. God is in the elements. God is in the circumstances. And many times God is using His things to cause us to take a good looking view of what we're doing in life. You know why? He don't want us to come down to the day of reckoning and not reckon right. He don't want us to come to that. So God is trying to intervene in our lives. And He says the day is going to declare what you're doing. Oh, it's so true. If we open our eyes and allow ourselves to see, it's so true. God will allow us to see where it's not working, where it's not right. God will allow the things to come into our lives to change that direction in our lives many times the day. The day's going to declare it so that we can reckon now instead of having to reckon then. What are you going to say about the thing? What are you going to say about the thing? I don't know how it works. Does a generality work? I don't know. But I do know this. Time will change the way you feel about things. After a while, they don't seem as important. It don't seem to be things have changed from it. But is it gone? Is it gone? Is it something that's going to catch up with me at the end and the Lord say, "You never took care of that. You never dealt with that. You wronged that person. You done this. You said that. You never took care of that. I tried, and you never did it." Oh, Lord, help us for what we've forgotten. Lord, help us to be right in this, that I don't come up at the end at a day of reckoning. I feel like tomorrow's mine. Does anybody here want to say, "I feel like tomorrow's my last day? I'll never make it to tomorrow. I feel like I got tomorrow," don't you? But do we? And if I can count on tomorrow, can I count on Tuesday? And Wednesday and Thursday? Do I have my years ahead? And if I do, is there no sentence against anything? And I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like it'd be good for us all to have a shocker on us. Lord, help my humanity. Sometimes I wish I could push the button. I know they ain't doing right. Wake up. But there's going to be a fearful day. I think we can say it this way. What a wonderful day. The day I get to meet the Lord. Can you say it that way? What a wonderful day. Look up. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Look up. But what about if it's, I don't know? What about, I got to face my reckoning, but I'm not sure. Or maybe I got to face it, and I am sure. And I ain't going to face it right. There's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day that we're going to have to give an account for all of our lives. The Scripture went so far to say in one place, we're going to have to give an account for idle words. Idle words. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad. It's just saying that it's going to go down so far that it's going to be looked at every moment of the idleness, of the idle words. Everything that's going to be that we do in our life, I can't say because there's no human can know. But God knows our motives. God knows what we do and why we do it. God's going to bring all of that, and one day there'll be a day of reckoning. Now, there's a story in the Bible, just real quickly, of a man. You can read it in 2 Samuel 11, starting off. David got himself in what seems to be a loose place in the Lord. And he had a great failure. He looked on a woman and lusted after her and took her, and it was another man's wife. And you all know the story, one of the blackest stories in the Scriptures. A man that was loved the Lord, seemed faithful to God in his life, done a lot of things for the Lord. And God didn't let him by with it. You know, he had a day of reckoning, didn't he? But let me tell you something about his day of reckoning. It happened here. He got that took care of, as bad as it was. Do you know that David was a murderer? An adulterer? A liar? Abuser of his power? Took his thing and he had a day of reckoning. He had the day where the prophet come and said, "God sent me. We're going to tally you up. we're going to show see right where you're at. As he said to one of the kings one time, you weighed in the balance. The day of reckoning's come. Remember the king? Took the stuff from the temple and was partying with it and doing all this stuff, and the hand come and wrote on the wall. What is it? Tekel Upharsin. You weighed in the balance and you found wanting. The day of reckoning has come. Your father, Nebuchadnezzar, done all this, and you knew this. You knew all this. And yet you were untouchable. You were untouchable. David felt untouchable. Time's on his side. He's young. He can do anything. You're king. You can do anything. Folks, it's all going to come down one of these days. We can make our arguments here, can do anything, but one thing that we all ought to always keep in mind as we live our life, I'm going to have to give an account. And I'm going to end with this scripture over in Ecclesiastes. I use it a lot of times with these kind of things. 9th verse of the 11th chapter says, "Rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Oh, young man, live life the way a young man should live life. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your youth. Follow your eyes. Follow your heart. Follow this. Go get this. Enjoy life. It's there before you. Do the things that you can do in life. Right? But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So there's a good piece of advice for all of us. Life's worth living. Live it to the fullest. Live and love and do the things that we can, but temper it all. Temper everything said and done by the day of reckoning. Temper it all. Temper our words. Temper our attitudes. Temper everything by this thought. Young man, know this. God's going to bring it into judgment. For whatever you do, right, wrong, indifferent, idle, serious, in emotional turmoils, grace or without, God's going to bring it into judgment. And you're going to have to give an account for it. And that's what we're living for, to live faithfully. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.